How y'all doing? Welcome to the Stirred Up Podcast and or the Stirred Up YouTube page. Today I sit down with John Panarese from Mac for the Blind and Matt Volgebrecht from TTJTech.net. There was an article entitled Comparing VoiceOver and NVDA. And in this article, there's a lot of emotion and opinion instead of fact. So today, we sit down and break this article, you know, dissect it a little bit to get to the truth. So you know what's really out there as it relates to VoiceOver and the Mac and Apple and as them as with accessibility as a whole. Again, we are not here to bash VoiceOver or NVDA or pit them against each other. We just want to make sure you have all the information so you can make a decision about the screen reader that you want. So sit back and listen to this great panel with John Panarese and Matt Volgebrecht.
All right, we're back on TTJ Talk, and we thank you for joining. Maybe you're listening from the Stir It Up podcast. This is also being streamed. It's available on YouTube, lots of different places, lots of different ways for you to be tuning into this today. And wherever you're tuning in from, we want to welcome you, and we thank you once again. Before I actually read the article, I just want to make it very clear that I do not know the person who wrote the article. I'm not even 100% convinced I have the correct name of the person who wrote the article, and I'm not going to share that because I don't feel it's necessary. I'm not interested in attacking any person, all right? Whoever wrote this, I'm sure that they are a great person. I don't have any, you know, questions about their character or anything like that. God loves them, all of that. But I truly feel there's some serious problems with the article. So we're strictly reacting here to what was written, not to the individual. The other thing I want to say in the interest of full disclosure is I am not a Windows user. I have not used Windows since probably about 2008 or 9. And I always jokingly say that the only time we use Windows in our house is when we want to get a nice cool breeze. So I don't have recent experience with NVDA. All right. I did use it some back then. But I don't have recent experience with it, okay? Some of the gentlemen who are joining me, at least one of them in particular, John, has used Windows more recently than that, I believe. And so he may have more firsthand experience. All right, we're going to take this thing line by line. It's not very long, and we're going to react to it, okay? So the article begins this way. The modern era has brought many advantages for those who are blind or visually impaired. One of the most important tools a blind user uses with modern computing devices is a screen reader. Traditionally, screen readers have been very expensive third-party programs that were very difficult to obtain depending on one's financial status. However, several free and yet capable screen readers have emerged in the last 20 years. The two that we will be discussing, so no problems there, no disagreement on any of that, right? All very straightforward, all right? Nothing to complain about there. The two we'll be discussing are VoiceOver for macOS and the Non-Visual Desktop Access, or NVDA, for Windows. Both are powerful screen readers in their own right, but they have their strengths and weaknesses, which I will discuss in more detail. Hopefully, by the end of this article, so says the writer, you will have a better understanding of the product and its individual strengths and weaknesses. Well, I think in the world in which we live, where products are invented by humans who are imperfect, anything is going to have its strengths and weaknesses. I don't have any problem with that statement. He goes on to talk first about NVDA. I'm going to go through this one pretty quickly because, as I said, I don't use it. Non-Visual Desktop Access, or NVDA, so says the author, for short, is a free and open source screen reader for the Microsoft Windows operating system. The organization behind the project is an Australian company called NV Access. He gives the web address. It has been around since 2006. 6 and primarily competes with the JAWS for Windows screen reader produced by Freedom Scientific, or Vispero as they're now known. I don't know if that's correct. It offers many of the same features that JAWS offers, and should be suitable for the majority of screen reader users. The philosophy behind NVDA is extremely compelling. It is offered free of charge to anyone in the world, meaning there is no longer a financial barrier for blind people to work, learn, or do anything else on a computer. NV Access does rely on donations, either from individuals or grants from large companies. So if you can donate, it is very much worth it to help this amazing project continue long into the future. The obvious benefit is that a blind person can compete on a level playing field with sighted peers at no more cost than anyone else. Updates to NVDA are also free, and NV Access releases 3 to 4 updates per year that fix bugs and add new features. And he goes on to say that since NVDA is open source, anyone is free to review the source code and propose changes. While anyone can propose a change and submit code, it's still reviewed and approved by NV Access before it is included in anything anyone can download. This ensures the security of the software from unauthorized changes and means that the final product available from the website NV Access is just as secure and well vetted as the closed source from another company. Thousands of people from all over the world constantly contribute to the project, which benefits everyone in the end. NVDA is a screen reader made for the blind by the blind. NV Access is overseen by a board of directors, of whom at least 33% must be blind or vision impaired, according to their constitution. So I have no issues here. Okay, what can I say? I don't use NVDA. I can't attest to or you know, squabble with the accuracy of what is stated here. I have no reason to doubt its accuracy, other than the accuracy of the second half of the article, which, to be honest, does make me doubt the accuracy of anything in the article. However, operating under the assumption that it is true, yeah, you know, and I've always felt that products like NVDA were brilliant in the sense that they do enable the access on a more level playing field, accessibility for all. You know, accessibility is a right. That ship has sailed, and we know that. And so, you know, anybody that wants to strive to do that, I think is, you know, ought to be commended.
Matt, can I just say something? Can I just,
just
make one comment? I do disagree. It is not on the same level as JAWS. JAWS has got much more access to a lot more than NV. And I'm not criticizing NVD. Believe me, I believe just what you said, that, you know, access for the blind, but let's be, you know, let's make it clear, it doesn't do everything JAWS does.
Right. And again, I wasn't even going to, you know, touch that one because I don't use them, so I don't feel qualified.
Well, I can second what John says because I've used both.
That is our good friend.
I've used both. And NVDA, okay. NVDA is great for free 99,
yeah,
as
great.
We call it.
Right.
But if
right.
you want to use Office and now, certain things of the internet, it's not going to get the job done.
No.
Okay, and that's very, very interesting to note, and I'm glad you gentlemen pointed that out, and certainly when we have our panel discussion more later, I'll be interested to see if we come back to that at all. One thing I will say in fairness, and again, I mean, we're not, you know, debating each other or anything by any means, but, you know, almost a rabbit trail here, but I will say that in fairness, JAWS has a lot of stuff I don't think a screen reader needs. And I've felt that way since about 2006, 07. I mean, the stuff that...
Uh-oh, Matt, we lost you.
There we go.
Matt, are you there?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Now, the last thing we heard you say is JAWS has a lot of things that it doesn't need. That's the last thing we heard from you.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I just totally, it's like the Zoom app locked up for a moment. And now my AirPods are in the Zoom meeting. So I'm going to try to switch that back over, but, you can talk for a moment on what I was just saying. I felt like JAWS has a lot of things that a screen reader probably doesn't need also.
Right.
I felt that they've tried to become far more than they need to be too.
No, you're exactly right. I think it's become
very
cumbersome.
You guys have anything
cumbersome.
To add since I wasn't. Yes. I was going to wait till after the thing, but since I have to switch back to the AirPods on the iPad here, Do you guys have anything to add about NVDA or any comments on that part of the article specifically?
No, just like I said, just that I think it's an overstatement to say that it's equal footing to Jaws. And again, I'm not criticizing it in the least. I'm just giving you an honest from experience what I feel. I think, as Cliff said, you can, you know, if you want to access Office really 100%, you want to do certain things on the internet, certain things with other third-party apps, NVDA just doesn't do the job.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're hearing from John Panarese of Mac for the Blind. We will talk with him a bit more in a little while. And also, of course, Trainer Cliff from stirritup.com is also with us today. As I continue in this article, now is where things get interesting. Because we're about to get into the voiceover section of this article. And I'm going to attempt to go through these things here. And I'm going to have a lot more to say on this part. And then we'll bring John and Cliff into the loop again. And we also have our live audience today who's going to ask some questions and share some thoughts afterwards as well. Voiceover, the article goes on to say, is Apple's built-in and the only screen reader for the Mac. It has been around since 2005, although the last significant update was in 2011 with Mac OS X Lion. All right, already, I gotta stop. I'm not even the slightest bit clear on where the author gets that idea. VoiceOver is updated with every major update and quite often with every minor update, okay? So Lion to Mountain Lion, Mountain Lion to Yosemite or Mavericks, you know, whatever the sequence was, I've slept since then. But, you know, all the way up to where we are now in Big Sur, anytime there's a major release, there's a chance of having updates with the screen to the screen reader. And certainly even in the incremental, you know, 10.6.2, 10.9.8, 10.9.9, you know, those kinds of things. There are always bugs that are fixed, features that are improved upon, performance is improved. And so I'm very, very confused as to that statement that it hasn't been updated since 2011. Right there, that is a red flag as far as I'm concerned. And I can't overstate that, I don't think. You know, I can't say enough about how disconcerting that is to read that in an article. I know, in fairness, this article is filed as an opinion, but the building blocks of that opinion ought to be fact. Otherwise, it's not an informed opinion. And there is very clearly something that's cited as evidence that is flat out untrue. So let's go on, because I'll talk more whenever we bring Cliff and John in. I could rant all day about each of these, and I'm not going to do that. So back to where we were here. And by the way, many things have stayed the same, but that's true with NVDA, all screen readers. You know, they don't totally rebuild everything each year. VoiceOver works well with Apple's built-in apps and used to be very reliable. Since it is built into the system, anyone can walk up to a Mac, a modern version of Mac OS, and begin talking by pressing Command F5. Apple should be commended for building a very capable screen reader into the system and showing the rest of the world that it is possible to build very robust features into mainstream products. Yeah, no disagreement with you on the vast majority of that. The used to be very reliable thing we'll come back to. As previously mentioned, however, VoiceOver is not as reliable as it could or should be. Show me a product, a service, an app, a tube of toothpaste that has reached perfection, and I'll call you a liar, okay? Because we live in an imperfect world, number one. Humans are not perfect. For those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, we believe Jesus is the only one who's ever been perfect. Even if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you know humans are far from perfect. We all make mistakes. And what's more, technology is ever changing. So what is as close to perfect as it could be today will be yesterday's news by tomorrow. So
as perfect as it could be, big problem with that statement. And as perfect as it should be, I'm not sure who this author is or who he or she thinks that they are to make that kind of a claim. To me, that's the epitome of arrogance, to say, this is what I think voiceover ought to be. Well, go work for Apple, become the head of accessibility, and implement what you think it ought to be. Otherwise, maybe be grateful for where it is and be kind if you feel there are improvements needed. Let's go on, and I got to get to my and by the way, he's talking strictly Mac here. You'll see soon. Apple has not made significant changes in nearly a decade. Well, here we go again. We've already discussed that. And bugs are rarely, if ever, fixed. Okay, so as a beta tester, I can tell you, and all three of the gentlemen, you know, myself included, on this panel, that is baloney. And that actually does a disservice to baloney, because I like a good baloney sandwich once in a while. We'll call it spam. I hate spam. it is, it's totally, it's malarkey. Bugs are rarely, if ever, fixed. That's just not true. We see bugs all the time with new betas, and they're fixed with future subsequent beta releases. We see these improvements happening all the time. So that statement is not true. And they've piled up over the years, and the experience, while still good, is far from satisfactory, depending on the tasks you wish to do. I don't get that either. There aren't too many tasks that you might wish to do on a Macintosh that you can't do with VoiceOver, and the ones that there are almost certainly are going to not work on Windows. You know, every once in a while, someone will point out some niche thing that, oh, hey, JAWS does this and VoiceOver doesn't. But yes, again, you know, we don't live in a perfect world. I'm not sitting here claiming that VoiceOver is perfect, okay? Everybody's always got work to do. But to make this broad blanket statement that there's a lot of things, or that there are things that, you know, you can't do on the Mac, it just doesn't make sense to me. The latest trend appears to be introducing bugs. Well, that's a pet peeve of mine. I don't like that phrase. Nobody introduces bugs. They happen because of the way that technology is. You're talking billions of lines of code. So nobody introduces bugs. I know where the person's coming from, and I shouldn't really pick on them for that, but that's just a pet peeve. So I apologize. But the latest trend appears to be introducing bugs that make certain things unusable. For example, there is a bug. No, there isn't. In macOS Big Sur, where VoiceOver crashes when opening disk utility application in
I'll take mode. This one. If the person that wrote this article, and again, we're not bashing nobody, but come on, people, let's do our research. That was fixed two beta cycles ago, and it was fixed in the last full release to the public in 11.2, if I'm not mistaken. If anybody correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're absolutely correct. I've been holding my tongue.
Yeah. and once I finish this article, I'm gonna you guys turn you loose, okay? We're gonna
Yeah, that's why I've been holding my tongue.
But I'm glad you chimed in on that, because I haven't used it. I know that it was fixed, but I didn't know when, and you know, so basically it persisted for maybe a version or two. We're talking the time span of what, 2 weeks, 4 weeks? I mean, not counting beta cycles, but public release. What was it, maybe a month that it persisted?
I'm going to call it a month, yeah. It's about
a month.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. This is absolutely unacceptable and would be fixed promptly if it impacted sighted users, yet someone somewhere decided it was okay to release with this broken feature for blind users. This goes against Apple's commitment to accessibility. All right, it is time, my friends, and the author, if you're listening to this, for a quick lesson in software development, okay? And I am not one to talk, because I don't even develop software, but I've done enough with it. I've dabbled in it enough to know this, and I would think this should be common sense. Apple doesn't sit down, and no company does. Apple doesn't sit down and say, oh, look at this. VoiceOver doesn't work in the disk utility. I don't care. Let's get it to market. Okay. At the absolute worst case scenario, they put off something for a version only because they have a priority list that has to happen. And a lot of times that has to coincide with the release of new hardware, especially on iOS. But that's the worst case scenario. In most cases, the engineers aren't even aware of those things until they are reported. Why? Because they're lazy and irresponsible? No, because there are billions of lines of code and it is absolutely impossible to test every scenario. I am a beta tester and I absolutely try. I mean, I give all the glory to God here. I'm not boasting, okay? But I make it a point to put iOS especially through its paces to what I believe is the greatest extent possible. When I start beta testing, I open apps. I do all kinds of things that I don't even do every day to see what works and what doesn't. And do you know what? Every year without fail, since I have started beta testing, I have missed stuff. And sometimes I've gone for 2 weeks, 4 weeks without missing stuff. And then all of a sudden I run into something and I say, how did I miss that? Okay, you can't test every scenario, every situation all the time. It's just not possible.
And so I'll take it a step further, Matt, because me and you both, I don't know about John, but you and me both beta test on our primary devices because
we don't want to.
I mean, how can you beta test in a real, I mean, not a real world, but how can you beta test if it's not your everyday device? I mean, I couldn't imagine going back and forth between two devices, trying to use them equally so I could see what was beta tested and keep this stable version over here. And Apple has done such a great job. I mean, I know we're not talking about iOS tonight, but Apple has done such a great job listening to not only voiceover users, but, you know, sighted users in the last couple of years, that the betas have been almost as good as the full release.
Yes, they have. Yes. Yes, they have. And again, like you said, you know, I'll only speak for myself. I won't bring anybody else into this, but I know what I would do if I didn't have the beta on the primary device. What I would do is I'd always go back to the main device that I knew was, you know, stable. And I would never test the beta enough. So that's absolutely why I do that. I agree with you fully in that. So that's the statement on the recovery. And there was a little more to that sentence, just the high standard of quality. Anyway, then just finishing up with the article is only a little bit more. Because voiceover is part of the system, you must wait for Apple to update the system to see if anything has been added or fixed. Since Apple's operating systems are not open source, let me address the one before that. Since it's built into the system, you have to wait for the system to be updated before anything is fixed. Okay, let's do a little more homework, okay? Let's do a little more homework and look at how often the incremental releases happen, because they're pretty often, okay? I would say probably, and again, don't hold me to this because I don't use my Mac as often as my other devices. But I'd say probably once a month, or certainly within every 2 months, you're getting a major point release, like, you know, 11.0.1 and then 11.0.2 and so on. Okay. And sometimes even smaller updates in between there. So no, that's definitely not a bad thing to say that it, you know, because it's built in the system, because the system is updated all the time. And then the second point is that since it's not open source, Apple's the only one who can work on the screen reader. The fact that they're not is very sad, as VoiceOver has the potential to do many great things if the appropriate resources were dedicated to it. Well, I'm going to become a broken record here. I don't know what else to say to that, except again, it's utterly untrue. Oh. And we could have.
Yeah, I think we should let John come in here because he's been chomping at the bit for like the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, you got something you want to respond to on that one?
Okay,
I know.
I'm going to simply say this: you're talking about a $1 trillion company that doesn't have resources over open source. Get real, dude. Seriously.
Yeah. And we could go on all day about and get into a debate, which I don't really want to do for the interest of time. We could go on, you know, with a debate about open source versus closed platform. I personally tend to favor the closed platform, you know, but again, that's not an area I really want to go. But thank you, John, because you're correct, obviously. Now,
and just to piggyback off of something you mentioned a few minutes ago about we have to wait for Apple to update because it's their company. Well, number one, it is their company. And two, Matt, me and you have even pointed out, and John, I think me and you had this chat too, that even before updates, Apple does some behind the scenes backdoor, for lack of a better term, of fixing some things. Because one day we'll say, oh, the cloud sharing doesn't work and you have to, you know, wait for them to fix it. An update doesn't come out, but then we'll go back to it and see that, you know, and I'm just giving an example, that the iCloud sharing of a file or a folder does work. So they don't right. always wait for an update. They do. I mean, that's why we tell people, you know, leave your devices on overnight to charge, or, you know, let your Mac, you know, do its thing of, you know, security patches or whatever it does overnight. Because Apple knows when we sleep. They know, you know, when people aren't using their Macs, and it's not like they have access to it, but they can push those things to it remotely without having to access any of your personal information.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff can be done server side. That's right. All right, here's another one that, I know there's going to be a lot of reaction to. One reason the author surmises for what he perceives or she perceives as neglect, they say, is the extreme popularity of Apple's mobile iOS devices, as VoiceOver on that platform is constantly refined. Well, it's refined on both. But anyway, we may never know, as Apple is very tight-lipped and secretive when it comes to their future developments. Unlike the open communication and collaboration model with NB Access, Apple does not communicate with the disability community. Okay, I'm going to share something now that I never intended to share publicly because I didn't want it to cause any kind of a reaction in any way, and I didn't know whether it would or wouldn't. I have personally spoken via email with Sarah Herlinger, who is the, and I don't want to get her title wrong. If you're listening, Sarah, I sincerely apologize. I don't remember the precise title, but it is a very high position in Apple accessibility, global accessibility, head of global accessibility,
yes,
or something
head of
like
global,
that.
Yes, yes.
And I'm not the only means. One. That's not unique to me, all right? I'm not the only one who Sarah has responded to their emails. I'm not going to get into why I sent an email or why I felt that was the right course of action or whether I still feel that way or, you know, whatever. It's irrelevant. The point is, I sent her an email. She is the head of that division and did not have to take the time to respond to a user. And yet she did multiple times. And that's just one of numerous examples that you see with Apple communicating directly with their customers. Apple Accessibility has a 24/7 hotline for support. You can call it directly. It's toll free. They can share the screen with you. They can work with you. They will help you file bug reports if you need to. They will help you learn to do things. I called them one time at 2 o'clock in the morning because there were some changes made to Keynote for iOS. No bugs, but just it was a little different. I wanted to make sure it still looked the same. Everybody else was asleep in my family. So I called Apple Accessibility. I said, hey, do you mind watching my presentation? I got to give this tomorrow. I want to make sure that it works. No, not at all. We'll screen share with you. And the lady watched the presentation. They communicate perfectly well with their customers. They don't tell you, hey, in the next version of iOS, you're going to be able to, you know, whatever, but they absolutely, well, sometimes they do on stage, but you know what I'm saying? But they, that's a falsehood as well. And the secretive nature of the company, they feel things would probably be much better if Apple employees were willing and or able to speak openly about accessibility with the users they serve. Well, I already addressed that in a moment when we finish the article, we'll bring Cliff and John in and see what they want to say about it. I've said all I have to say about that point. It finishes up here with the conclusion. I have done my best to outline the major differences between NVDA on Windows and VoiceOver on a Mac. That can't possibly be your best. Because yeah. you really didn't outline anything, number one. And number two, comparing a Windows screen reader to a screen reader from another platform, be it Apple, Android, or anything else, is a mistake because the platforms are different. If you're going to do that, then we have to go and compare and contrast the entire platforms, which if we were doing, by the way, would make it even clearer that Mac OS is the winner. Okay. So let's not go down that road. As it finishes here, Apple is a, let's see, where am I going here? is a pioneer in the realm of mainstream accessibility, and now everyone else, including Microsoft, is trying to catch up. This is a very good thing, as it pushes the entire industry forward and ultimately means access for blind users is only getting better and better as
but
years
Matt,
march
if,
along.
If we're if Apple's not doing what they're supposed to be doing, then why is everybody else trying to catch up? Isn't that an oxymoron?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. So that was the gist of the let's go ahead and let's continue this discussion. Once again, a reminder, I'm joined by trainer Cliff Miller of stirritup.com and our good friend John Panarese from MacForTheBlind.com. Check out his website when you get a chance as well. Guys, where do we go here? Where do we begin on this?
Okay, let me just start by saying this. This is the problem with the internet, is that opinions, you know, I wish Cliff could put the old Clint Eastwood line about opinions, because this is a great example of why the internet can be a good place and a bad place, because this article is opinion. There's no facts, and that's okay. You know, that's, you know, people blog, people, you know, they put up all kinds of sites in which they state their opinions. But as Matt said earlier, opinions are fine, but if they're not based on fact, this is why I was going. People have sent. I can't tell you how many emails I got from clients and former clients about this article, and I refuse to even mention it on my website because I don't even want to give attention to something like this. That's just really just opinion based. I mean, that's what it really comes down to. So, you know. Let me just take just a couple of points, and I'm not to reiterate what Matt said, but number one, we're beta testers, okay? So to say that iOS gets updated more than macOS, you're talking out of your posterior, because those of us who beta test both platforms know that the beta releases come at the same time, all right? For the most part, maybe a couple of days apart, but they're pretty much on schedule relatively at the same time. So there's that nonsense about that iOS gets updated more than macOS. Number
As a matter
two,
of fact, they both just got updates this past Wednesday.
Yes, they just got up right within what? 2 hours
yes, they did.
Of one another. Yeah, within couple, 2 hours.
Within
of one
2 hours. Yep.
Number two, as Matt said, macOS gets there are maintenance updates at least 6 to 8 times a year. Now that they're gone into a yearly cycle. So to say that it doesn't get updated often, okay, I'm sorry. Again, do your research. Actually state fact before you start writing stuff like this. It drives me nuts. And to say it hasn't been updated since, significantly updated since 2011. First of all, I didn't know this person was an
right.
Apple engineer. I didn't know they had that insight to know that there haven't been significant updates. There are other things behind the scenes that they're not even touching upon because they obviously don't know how much macOS itself has changed. Why do you think that's called macOS 11 now? Because Apple completely changed over. They're now pushing the APFS, Apple filing system, which iOS was actually technically using even before the Mac was using it, which I don't think a lot of people realize or know. So in essence, you know, VoiceOver has been updated all along with the changes that Apple has made. And to say that bugs don't get fixed? Seriously? Again, those of us who are vision beta testers, we know better than that. And to say that Apple doesn't communicate with the users? Why do you think there's a vision seed for? We talk to Apple engineers all the time. We get direct feedback from Apple engineers when we send in our bug reports. Yeah, there are bugs that kind of stick around because there is a priority chain. Anybody who develops software knows how that works. There are, you know, levels of priority. When I was doing beta testing, when I was contracted with Apple and I was doing quality assurance, I had to categorize the bugs that I reported. And obviously the ones that were critical were the ones that get dealt with first. The ones that are not so critical, well, you know what? They have to stick around until they get around to fixing it. That's just how it works in software, folks. And yeah, again, the person doesn't know what they're talking about. So I don't, whatever. I mean, again, this is what's dangerous to me is that this kind of garbage is going to be put out there, and I'm going to hear from, you know, potential Mac users or people who want to take up the Mac, and they're going to reference it. This is like when AFB wrote, I can't remember the name of the person who wrote that article, when VoiceOver first came out years ago for the American Foundation of the Blind. And the article was so filled with just complete lies. A Mac doesn't have a spell checker. That was one of the ones that stuck out to me. You know, it's like the thing that's dangerous about this is that there are people who will actually believe it and take it at face value. And that's the part that infuriates me more than the fact that there's just nonsense. It's just the reality that there are people that are going to read this and go, oh, wow, Apple hasn't updated VoiceOver since 2011. You know, and I'm hoping that there are enough people that listen to something like that Matt and Cliff are doing that will know that this is not the case.
And I think that's exactly the intent of it, John. You know, as I said at the beginning, I don't have any interest in going to war with this person. I don't have, you know, I'm sure they're a fine person. Okay. My interest is when there is inaccurate information out there as a tech person, as a trainer, as a certified Apple teacher, I want to straighten that out because I want you to know the truth so that you can make an informed decision. Look, my mom is a Windows user. She does use an iPad also. And, you know, my dad has a Mac and so forth. She uses an iPhone. But anyhow, she still, you know, goes back to Windows. I constantly tease her about it. We always pick on each other about it. And she does use the iPad when I ask her to help with projects. But at the end of the day, she's a Windows user. And that's fine. People will choose what they want to do. And if you listen to this and you say, hey, I still like Windows better, then fine. That is your prerogative. But base the decision on actual facts.
I don't think our intention for this stream podcast, wherever you're catching it at, is to sway anybody either way. We just want to put factual information out there. I mean, because if you're a Windows user, you're a Windows user. You're not a bad person. If you're a VoiceOver user, I just want to make sure
the tool that works for you.
Exactly. I just want to make sure people know that VoiceOver has been updated since 2011. That's actually when I first started using VoiceOver, and I can tell you right now, in the almost 10 years that I've been using VoiceOver, it's took leaps and bounds. Now, NVDA is a great screen reader. I've used it. It just, you know, I don't use Windows no more, so it has no need. Now, before we go any further, Matt, I was looking at the comments, and we got Joseph Lee here, who actually works for NVDA. I'd like him to come in here and tell us a few things about NVDA that we possibly miss or don't know. And again, we're not bashing NVDA anyway, but we're just wanting people to know the facts about VoiceOver. Joseph, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, how you doing?
Yes.
Hi, how you doing?
Thank you, everybody. And I technically, I'm not an NV Access employee, so I am speaking as a contributor. That's my view. So, first of all, before giving you my assessment of the article, which I read while listening to you all, NVIDIA 2020.4 just came out. So for those of you who are listening to this podcast may realize that a new version came out. But there's one thing I must point out. The article says NVIDIA Access is a company. It's a nonprofit. You must realize the differences between those two.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
For those of you who looked at NVIDIA Access, its history and the story of NVIDIA community, people always make a difference between a company and a nonprofit and the associated laws. Because to some, although the laws might be different between Australia and United States, where I am based, the concept is similar. The nonprofit is designed to serve a community and not supposed to raise a lot of profit for the staff because they're supposed to work on something. So that's one thing that stuck out to me. The second thing I can tell you is that NVDA borrowed a lot from VoiceOver, specifically iOS version. We do acknowledge that NVDA did learn so many things from VoiceOver. The best evidence is touch support. In 2012, when I began contributing to NVDA community, NVIDIA Access, specifically Mick Curran, the founder, was working on touch support. And that was when Windows 8 beta came out, and Microsoft did declare that Narrator is going to support touch devices because of Windows 8's touch-centric interface. And to keep up with that, NVDA community decided to say, well, we're also going to support touch devices. And a lot of commands, if you realize, if you're using JAWS or Narrator, or for that matter, NVDA, a lot of basic touch commands came from VoiceOver. For example, you can do a one flick right to move to the next element, for example. You know where that came from? It came from VoiceOver. So NVIDIA has learned a lot from VoiceOver in that respect. The third thing I can tell you is that there's, as you pointed out, the article states that VoiceOver was not updated since 2011. However, then the question becomes, then why did Apple spend so much time working on Braille screen input? So that to me sort of makes the argument no, because in that case, VoiceOver was updated a lot, especially recent days. Then you can ask, then Apple would have said, we did implement touch bar support in VoiceOver for Mac recently. We allowed VoiceOver users on iOS to listen to descriptions generated by Neural Engine hardware. That we spent so much time working with LibLui project, the Braille Translator project, to incorporate their improvements to VoiceOver. And we spent so much time working hard on Braille screen input that has become a revolutionary way to input Braille on a touch screen. And NVDA community has received so many requests to include a version of that into NVDA. So I can tell you, as an NVDA contributor, and I myself am a VoiceOver user. I've been using VoiceOver since 2012, and I got started out with iPod 4. And I've been using the latest device being iPhone 12. So I can tell you that as an NVIDIA contributor, I find it, let's just say, appalling to see that the article, at least the opinion piece in this case, which was published in iPhone Geeks, but that I would imagine has some reputation on it, fails to recognize the fact that screen readers borrow from each other. And as someone pointed out correctly, if you want to compare platforms, it's like comparing apples and oranges, because the Mac OS and iOS are Unix-based, specifically BSD-based. And the reason why Apple can release betas at the same time is because they share code. Right. And they adapt to things. Whereas if you want to compare that with Windows, basically it's a Windows NT kernel. Basically, you're trying to compare between two types of fruits. So to my personal assessment of the article, as a person who contributes significantly to one screen reader while I'm a fan of another screen reader, which I've learned a lot from, my personal critique is, it is, to use the term, I'm using this term carefully, it's quite appalling and exaggerated. I hope somebody does come up with some kind of a react, not to the level of a really strong reaction, but more towards fact check article to point out that, number one, VoiceOver and NVIDIA borrow from each other a lot. And number two, if you want to compare two screen readers on different platforms, you must compare platforms first. And number three, so many recent VoiceOver in changes made a difference for many people in unexpected places. So those are my two cents, folks. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
And I really, really appreciate it. It is great. You know, I got to say, sir, I wish I could go back in my notes and make it sound like we planned to have you on the event. I mean, that was absolutely fantastic.
That was brilliant.
It was brilliant.
And one of the things I wanted to reiterate that he said is, you know, if you're going to compare screens, you got to compare platforms, and that's just not possible. But
That's it.
And if you remember a couple years ago, Matt and John, I know you guys both remember this when I say it. Do you remember one of the people over at Google got fired because he got caught using an iPhone?
I remember the story. Yeah. And I'll even go so far as to say, in the end of the time when I was using Windows, and I'm not just saying this because we now know we have a gentleman here who's, you know, got a personal interest in, but I was using NVDA a lot when I was in my final days of using Windows, because I was never a fan of JAWS. And I like what NVDA is doing, and I want to personally thank you for the hard work and the dedication, and what you are doing, as I said in the beginning, truly deserves to be commended. So yeah, thank you so much. I wanted to point out too
that NVDA being nonprofit, which I did know because I read an article when I saw this, I wanted to make sure I did a little homework. But anyways, NVDA being nonprofit is, you know, definitely commendable, but it also is a good thing for the blind community, I guess, the word I'm looking for. Because if you, I mean, all of us know, JAWS used to cost an arm and a leg. It's just more recently, a year or so ago, they started doing the subscription base. And I guess maybe because more people were dropping JAWS and going to NVDA because it was free and pretty close to what JAWS could do. So, I mean, it's
I know a lot of people that have dropped JAWS for NVDA, and that's why I have both on my system.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, before we take some more audience questions and comments, I want to go back to something and get you guys to comment on it. You know, in the article, he kind of, or she, I don't know, the person kind of alludes to the fact and really states the fact that, you know, Mac is basically the same as it was in 2011 while iOS has changed, except that it's not. Okay, because M1 Mac, multiple, you know, APFS, talk about that a little bit, guys. Not just VoiceOver, but the Mac OS, you know, the evolution since 2011 is huge, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's just you can't say something like that. The Mac OS has been progressing because, as the gentleman just said, you know, made the point that iOS and Mac OS are pretty much, they're you know, it's, basically, iOS is just the it's the smaller, you know, it's a stripped down version, I guess you'd say, of Mac OS. And that's why you're starting to see them sort of merging together. And to say that Mac OS has not changed, again, as somebody who's an ACSP and an ACT, and I have to learn this stuff, the nuts and bolts, that is so wrong, so incorrect. Just thinking back to when I first took my ACSP in Lion compared to what it is now. There's so many under the hood changes to the operating system, APFS being one of the biggest ones.
Absolutely.
And also the security and, you know, the way Apple has really, you know, with privacy and security and just think of how iCloud has evolved and how it's integrated into Mac OS.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, because really, I mean, I don't have the expertise. You know, the highest I got on the Mac was the certified associate. And then I kind of, you know, moved on and did iOS. But, you know, and that was back in, when did I get that? Yosemite, maybe? I think so. I don't remember. Anyhow, so I don't have the level of knowledge that you do on that. But just looking at it from a consumer standpoint, if Mac OS hasn't changed since 2011, here's just a small list of things you wouldn't have on the Mac. iCloud Drive support, Files app integration, AirDrop, AirPlay 2, Memojis in messages, what the gentleman pointed out a few minutes ago, voiceover recognition, which does exist in some form on the Mac. So, I mean, that's just a small, small list without having done any homework, just off the top of my head, of stuff that has been introduced to the Mac since then.
Right. It's just nonsense.
On another part of that article that was saying that NVDA or, well, actually, somebody said in the comments that a better comparison, and maybe you could speak to this, John, somebody said in the comments that a better comparison probably would have been narrator to voiceover. I don't think that's a good comparison because, I mean, I'm not a Windows user. You have to because of clients, but would you say that narrator is better than NVDA or vice versa?
No, I think NVDA is better than narrator. Yeah.
Definitely, and I can just say that from years back, but probably what the person is trying to say is that a more fair comparison would be narrator to voiceover because they're both built-in screen readers.
Right.
That was me saying that. That was me saying that. So I think if they want to talk about recent Windows 10 developments, perhaps it could have been a slightly smarter comparison.
Yeah, I got you. He's absolutely right. That's perfect.
Yep. All right. Do we have other comments or questions from the audience tonight?
You should be able to unmute yourself if you have a question. Sorry about that.
Yeah, there was something else in that article when Matt was going through it that I was like, I got to come back to this. I can't remember what it was now.
And then we do see Sheila's hand there. Sheila, you can go ahead and unmute. I'm trying to think, John, what...
there was something...
You know, John, Matt tends to be long-winded, so next time just tell him to hush.
No, he was on a roll, and I wasn't going to interrupt. I interrupted him with the Windows thing, and I didn't mean to do that.
Well, no, that's okay. That's, you know, that's why we wanted you guys here. But I just, yeah, I was just going directly through the article. So, I'm trying to think what... some of the, you know, like I said, the stuff that really got me was that they don't communicate with their customers, or that.
Yeah, which again, that like I said, as a beta tester on the Vision seat, I can tell you that's a bunch of hooey.
Sheila, can you unmute?
I'm unmuted.
How you doing?
Fine. I guess what I'd like to say is that I probably started using VoiceOver back in 2011. And since then, I've seen a lot of updates, like Fred will come on when I'm going through the updates and things, and you know, when I'm starting things or installing things, and it never used to come on. So VoiceOver is much more usable for setting up even things by myself. And it has been compared. I mean, I used to use JAWS back then, and then, well, no, not NVDA, but anyway, anything that worked on Windows, anything that didn't work on, okay, I stuck with the Mac ever since. And then whenever I had a problem on the Mac, sometimes I would try the same thing on Windows and it wouldn't work. So it's very comparable, and I've never gone back. So.
Yes, absolutely.
I want to say
one major change I can definitely point out, and John, you can correct, and you too, Matt, because you've been on Mac since 2009. But if correct me if I'm wrong, but we didn't get single letter navigation in Safari until Lion.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. We used to have to be able to do everything. We used to have to do everything manually. It was no hit H for heading, T for table, C for combo box or checkbox or whatever. We didn't get that until 2012.
Yeah, so. And QuickNav itself didn't come until, and they've built off of, as VoiceOver. I mean, a lot of the stuff, this is the interesting point too. A lot of the stuff that we're getting now in VoiceOver and iOS originally came from Mac. And I'm always amused that people don't know that or don't realize that, especially if you start to use a keyboard with your iOS device. The keyboard commands and things that you can do have come specifically from Mac VoiceOver. And if you've been around the iOS devices since 2009, think of what the VoiceOver settings look like in iOS, what was it, 3? With the iPhone 3GS?
Yes.
And as the 4 and the 5, and as we've progressed, think about how the VoiceOver settings have proliferated. And if you're a Mac user, a lot of that stuff is very recognizable to you from the VoiceOver utility on the Mac over the years.
That's right.
I'm reading one of the comments here on, not my blog, but somebody sent me an email and said, I guess, yes, this article is opinion-based. You know, everybody has opinions. I'm not going to repeat exactly what they said, but they said the biggest complaint, and this is not even related to JAWS or NVDA. They're talking about iOS, talking about they need to give more attention, and John, you probably can attest to this. They need to give more attention to refreshable Braille displays.
I agree that Braille tends to be where they drop the ball with, and I think that's because what they've done is they have it so that it's universal Braille drivers. Remember that, there's no drivers when you use a Braille display with the Mac and with iOS. So I think that has a bit to do with it, that it has to do with manufacturers, of the Braille displays as well. I'm not a developer. I don't work for Apple, so... But I will agree that's where we run into problems. There are a lot of very strong Braille users like Scott Davert from AppleViz, And they'll tell you that you know, that sometimes is what's been happening. But to Apple's credit, they do their best to fix it. And again, Scott Davert would tell you that as well.
And we see, you know, that when, you know, part of it is that if people aren't reporting this stuff, then it doesn't get associated with other reports, and then people aren't aware of how many people are experiencing it. And then sometimes when they do report it, they don't provide step-by-step, you know, instructions on how to reproduce it. I can tell you, you know, without getting into a lengthy, you know, situation here, I just, when we see different bugs at times, you know, we always encourage other beta testers, you got to report this, be kind about it, be nice, but report it, because right. The more people that are reporting it, the quicker it gets Apple's attention. And, you know, the other thing I'll say is we all kind of, I feel, and I know, I just know it because of some of the reactions I've gotten at times on the beta lists and other, I know there are people who think that I don't care about their issues. You know, the way I respond sometimes, they get the idea that I'm just trying to make light of it and say it's not a problem. That couldn't be farther from the truth. But I think we all have to have a healthy reality check, a dose of reality, which is that, look, there are billions of users in the world. And it's very, very easy to become a lobbyist for your issue, okay? And it could be a very big issue, but you know, there's got to be a degree of perspective that if you can find a workaround, if you can find another way of doing things until it gets fixed, continue reporting it, you know. But don't get mean and don't say, "Well, Apple's totally lost sight of quality."
Yeah, and that's what bugs me too. I mean, no pun intended, but you get people who they go on their soapbox when they have a bug and they act like it's the end of the world and that Apple doesn't care anymore. And because their little issue, I mean, VoiceOver hasn't been updated, but I remember a couple of operating systems ago, they changed the way that the Spotlight search results are being shown. So, you know, it was different without a doubt. And I think it's actually better now that I've used it for a while. But I remember somebody went on one of the public, I don't know if it was Mac Visionaries or Keith Reedy's Mac VoiceOver list. I forget which one it was, but somebody went on this long diatribe about how Apple just doesn't care about the blind anymore. And it was just because they changed the way Spotlight showed its results.
Oh my. Yeah.
And I'm like, what is wrong with this person? Seriously. In fact, I think I did I found myself having to respond to the email because it was just so ridiculous.
And you usually don't.
No.
You kind of lay low. But, you know, I mean, there was a recent, I can't talk about what it is because of the NDA, but in beta 3 of the latest tvOS update, there's a weird little thing that VoiceOver is doing. It doesn't prevent anything from working. Okay, it's not a problem. You can still do everything on the Apple TV. It's just a weird little quirk. I have a feeling it'll be fixed in beta 4, but I don't like it. All right. It just personally, I don't enjoy this little thing that it's doing. And, you know, when I saw that, my first response was, "Are you kidding me?" Like, it doesn't affect anything, but seriously, you know. And then I took a step back. I said, you know, Lord, help me to be more godly about this. And I said, you know what? This is really, so what? You know, I'm using it. Praise God. It works. I can do what I want to do. This is a non-issue, you know, and it probably won't even be an issue or a non-issue in the next release. But even if it were, it's fine, you know. And so a lot of the stuff people complain about is that. Now, I'll admit there are some that have been more serious than that. But most of them that make it to public release are usually able to be worked around. And if they're not, they're fixed in a version or so.
Right. And it's common sense. I mean, just things that you see that a lot of people are experiencing, then, you know, it's a widespread thing. And it's not that Apple's not aware of it, but report it anyway. You know, just what you said earlier. I love people who just say, "Oh, this doesn't work. Did you report to Apple?" No. If you find a bug, the only way the engineers are going to know about it is for you to report it. And if you want that bug to really be handled, the more people that do report it, the further it gets pushed up the priority chain, as I mentioned earlier. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, the bottom line is, people, do your research before you go off on a rant. That's just it.
Exactly.
All right, Matt, we're about 1 hour and 15 in. I don't know how long you wanted to do this. So,
well, let's see if we have any other questions, any other comments, anything from the audience, first of all. And if not, anything else, Cliff or John, that you guys would like to comment on before we close?
Well, I just want to. I mean, I hope I've not come across like a arrogant tyrant here. I really was. I'm not trying to be that. It's just that I've been doing this stuff, you know, since Mac OS 10 Tiger in 2005. So I kind of take a little of personal affront when people kind of make blanket statements like this that are just untrue. Again, everybody's entitled to their opinion. And I'm not at all, you know, I'm not trying to say people shouldn't express their opinions. But just again, to reiterate what Matt said earlier, if you're going to make an opinion, have facts, you know, and that's the problem I have with this. You know, like you said, Matt, this author could be the nicest person in the world. I could be friends with this person. I have no idea.
Right,
but
right.
Just, you know, but there's a lot of problems with what they wrote, and I don't know what the end goal here was for writing it. You know, that's the problem I have. So I just, again, I hope it's I'm just stupefied by stuff like this when it comes, especially forwarding me the same article.
yeah, because it does influence people. It does make a difference.
Well, I'll just say that again. I'll reiterate what both you, what John and Matt said. Get your facts before you rant, and if not, do your research, because I had multiple people who were thinking about a Mac email me because they respect my opinion and what me and Matt and John all do, and was asking me if this was true. And I told them, I said, you know what I do. You know what, you know, Matt and John do. I mean, here's some articles, here's some tutorials, here's even a couple recordings. You make the decision for yourself. But I bottom line told them, look, VoiceOver has been updated and will continue to be updated. Apple has their own accessibility wing, not just one office, but a whole wing in Cupertino, and people that also work from home, giving people support, like Matt said, 24 hours a day. So before you publish anything, before you go ranting, just please check your facts and get them straight.
And one other thing that I'd like to comment on before we close, because I think it's so, so important, and I can't stress it enough. John and Cliff, you have had personal experience. Mine is just what I read and what's common sense. So I'm going to give you the floor here. Talking about the updates that, you know, allegedly haven't come to Mac, but really have, probably the biggest, arguably, the biggest update that has come to the Mac is the M1 Max. And I think people, if they're not aware of it, if they're not involved in it, are underestimating what that will mean for the future of Mac OS. Am I wrong?
No, it's going to change the landscape of computing. Entirely.
I'm going to tell you how good it is. John told me, and I quote, back in November, he knows where I'm going
here
with this.
We go. Oh, no.
He told me back in November, I said, John, you going to get an M1? Like, nah, I'm going to wait for a iMac to come because I like the desktop experience. What happens when I go to help him out with one of his classes in January? Oh, I got a MacBook Pro M1. So it must have been good in order for him to move up his date and skip the iMac and get to the MacBook Pro. So.
if I end up making that same or a similar move, John, can I give my wife your name when she starts yelling at me and have her
give you? yeah, please. You know, it's okay. I don't mind evangelizing a little bit. No, seriously, if you read what these things, I mean, people have to keep in mind, it's the M1. This is the initial silicone Mac. Just think about what, I mean, it blows the doors off of any high-end PC. I mean, I've read so many different articles, and I'm not talking Mac fanboy stuff. I'm talking about, you know, unbiased, you know, different types of technical journals out there that have compared the Macs to PCs. And it's just, I kind of, like I said, it's, this is the first release. Imagine what these things are going to be 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, you know, and because Intel is just not going to get anything out. In fact, I think there was even a delay in their most recent chip that that was supposed to come out.
I think they even hired a new CEO to try to, you know, try to get somebody in there that thinks they can compare with the M1. So
yeah, because the x86 technology is done, and it's been done, and I've been, it's funny because I've seen this coming. If you know, because the iPads of Apple's been using their own chips for several years, the A9, A10, A11, and you just knew it was a matter of time before they started putting these puppies into desktops and laptops.
Yep. To quote a old saying from back in the 80s and 90s, Matt, these M1s are all that in a bag of chips.
Oh, yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, I think we've taken this about as far as we need to probably, right, gentlemen? I mean,
yeah.
All right. I want to thank both Cliff from Stir It Up and John from Mac for the Blind. Look, if you need Mac training, all three of us are doing it, but I will tell you this. I'm more the iOS and iPad. That's the area I prefer to work. I love my Mac, but I, you know, where I do most of my stuff is iOS and iPad OS. Cliff has gotten more heavily into the Mac in recent days again because of some of the audio editing stuff that he's doing, and really just because he has to always try to stay one step ahead of me, because why not? And but John, look, folks, this guy, he is not only certified, but I mean, he is an expert. He lives and breathes this stuff. The training on the Mac that he's got is second to none. Make sure you head over to Mac for the Blind if you want to take advantage of any of that.
I'll second that. You can't put a price tag on what John does. I mean, he holds some free sessions, and he has very, very reasonable rates. So if you want to find out, MacForTheBlind.com is your avenue.
Absolutely. So thank you to both Cliff and John, and thank you to all of our audience members for attending tonight. Everybody, wherever you're listening, we'll stop the recordings here, but we want to thank you all, and God bless you. Have a great day.
All right. What a great panel. Stating facts, doing research, not swayed by emotion. Remember, people, we're not here to bash one screen reader or another, one OS or another. We're just here to make sure you know the rundown and know the truth under the story. Thanks to John Panarese for MacForTheBlind.com. You want great Mac training? That's where you go. We also thank Matt Bulbridge for the breakdown of that article coming from TTJTech.net. You want iOS and iPad training? Hook your home up with home automation? That's where you go, TTJTech.net. You want a variety? Like sports talk, coast to coast, some Christian stuff, and even chat about some tech stuff and family stuff? You go to stirrituppcom. That's STURITUP.com. You can also send us an email. We're requesting all that good stuff at the same address at iCloud.com. Remember, we're on YouTube, which where you're probably listening. We're also on all the podcast platforms, and you can even check us out on Facebook. See you next time, coming to you from the Pit.